Before we get started today, I want to remind you guys that the Meaning Kind Show featuring Lenny is fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with G. Also, 30 for 30 Podcasts and The Undefeated present The King of Crenshaw. This four-part series examines how Nipsey Hussle's life, death, and legacy impacted the sports world, particularly the NBA. Hear DeMar DeRozan, Isaiah Thomas, and DeMarcus Cousins, amongst others, exploring the realities of life as a black man in America, Nipsey's dedication to South LA and his community, and how Nipsey inspired millions. The marathon continues, The King of Crenshaw. Listen now on SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to the Meaning Kind Show featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast where one of the hosts thinks Walker Little is a great nickname for his mom. He calls his dad Walker Medium. That's Lenny. I'm Mina Kimes, and I am in studio for a very special episode, a recurring episode, the third episode, the third installment of the now annual Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, Team Draft the Mike Golic Jr.
Man, electric. Did anyone else just get chills? Is that just me? No?
So,
all right.
We have a guest producer filling in today. Shout out to Taylor. Shout out to Stancic, and who's out. And he asked me to explain the team draft scoring system when we sat down, and I really could not do it.
I immediately started to make the like Ancient Aliens meme guy face. Where it's so the thing about the Mina Kimes Show draft is that at this point, I think the bit is that none of us really know how it works. All we know is that we are now, after 2 years of doing this, in what is usually annually the longest podcast in the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny Universe, we are now 1-1. I won year one, and you won last year, so that is where we stand.
Yeah, the scoring system year one was a little out of whack, a little skewed towards the Super Bowl winner.
How much do you want to continue to blame that for me just beating you?
The results speak for themselves. Last year I won. We're going to stick with last year's scoring system because it was obviously... It was also, I think, borne out by the fact that it was actually pretty close.
Yeah.
I only won 218 to 212. So the way this works, before we get into it, is Mike and I alternate drafting NFL teams, basically based on how successful we think they'll be. You get a point for each win. So, you know, if the team goes, oh my God, 17-0, that's going to be weird. I just realized that now changes the game a little bit because it puts more emphasis on the regular season.
Yes.
So, interesting. Mm. Topical. So you get 1 point for each win, 5 points for making the playoffs, 5 points for making the divisional round, 10 points for making the conference championship, 10 for making the Super Bowl, and then 5 for winning the Super Bowl. We dialed back the final the winning because I think you picked the winner and it was like out of control.
I think it was like 20 points or something insane like that.
So Stancic graciously put together a review of who picked which team, and I thought we could take a look back on how right and wrong we were going into last season. So I won, in case you forgot from the beginning of the episode when I reminded everyone that I won. I had the Chiefs, the Saints, the Cowboys, but those were before Dak Prescott.
Yeah, it's understandable.
The Steelers ended up being a good pick. Yeah. So, hey, all the Steelers fans are angry with me right now. I believed in you guys last year. The Seahawks, the Eagles, Titans, Packers, that ended up being great value for me. Lions, Pats, Broncos, Raiders, Bears, Giants, Dolphins. We took way too late. And then the Panthers. So you had...
I had Baltimore, the 49ers, the Colts, the Bills ended up being
a good one for you.
Huge win. The Bucks,
obviously,
worked out well. The Vikings, the Rams, Browns, Chargers, Texans, Falcons, Cardinals, Jets, Washington football team, and then the Bengals and Jags. So a lot of bad football at the end.
Yeah, I think I won mainly because I had like good value later on.
Yeah, it's incredible depth.
Some teams that surprised. And yeah, you won the. It's funny. See, even if we had left the Super, if we had left a Super Bowl winning bonus at like 10 points, but you still would have lost because I beat you by 6 points. So
yeah,
anyways, whatever.
Would have been a nail biter.
So basically, this all matters because this isn't a power rankings. Like, we're not picking the best team. You're also, it obviously is taken into consideration, but you're also factoring in, like, how likely is this team to win their division? Because you get a huge bonus for that. And how likely are they to, you know, get a lot of wins and go deep in the playoffs? You're considering strength of schedule, that sort of thing. That said, it aligns pretty closely with the power rankings. Yeah. Like, I ranked my teams. I don't know what kind of prep work you did, but...
Oh, I've got plenty of rankings right here. I've got a robust Google Doc that we've been working on here. So I know the love language in the Mina Kime show is just lengthy Google Docs. So,
well, speaking of love language, I appreciate you so much that I'm going to let you pick first this year. I think I picked first last year. I can't remember. I think, well, probably if I took the Chiefs, I probably picked first last year. And yes. You took the Raiders. You didn't pick the Ravens first. So I've decided, and I actually think this is a difficult pick. I think it's much... This year is much harder than last year, in my opinion, because the two teams that everyone is deciding between, it's hard. It actually is hard.
It is legitimately tough here, and I did not know I was going to get the first pick here, so it's actually nerve-wracking, because if you had the number one pick, it would have made it easy for me, and I wouldn't be so steeped in regret. Whew. All right.
Did I throw you?
You did throw me a little bit here, but I'm going to stick to my guns. I had him listed at number one here. I understand the immediate argument for the other side here, but I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to pick Kansas City.
Okay. Were you concerned at all? Kansas City preseason week two, Patrick Mahomes played like the whole first half, which is just hilarious. You know, the offense looked a little bit out of sorts. Now, Tyreek Hill was not playing.
Yep.
Chemistry with Mecole Hardman was a little bit off. But the offensive line looked good.
Yep.
Which has been the whole offseason, everyone's been like, oh, the Chiefs rebuild offensive line. Then I kind of think people forgot, like, oh, this is actually a pretty shallow receiving group. And if Tyreek Hill's not in the game,
yes.
Like, oh, Byron Pringle, Mecole Hardman, there's no one else. There's a reason why I think this team made a run at Juju Smith-Schuster. Don't understand why he said no, but that's a different story. Do you have any concerns about that?
A little, because like you said, especially with Tyreek, like the whole house of cards is built on him. You've got one guy that's special that allows the rest of that very fast core to all look like they're more competent than they were. It was kind of the Sammy Watkins effect when he was over there. So I am a little bit worried about that. The thing that makes me feel a lot better is the fact that the offensive line, it's going to be a lot different system-wise. We've seen people point out some of the different things they're going to do in the run game. Certainly a different unit that Patrick Mahomes is used to being protected by. And he's a unique guy to have to protect because of what he does. Like, for a lot of these guys, maybe sans Orlando Brown, you're not as used to having a quarterback that you've got to keep track of like this. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's an adjustment period for all of that. But that being said, the Patrick Mahomes effect still allows me to believe he can will you through to win a couple of those games where maybe the rest of your team wouldn't quite be as up to speed.
But even for Orlando Brown, like, I mean, that offense is so unique. You know, obviously there's the power running game, which there's the Chiefs. There's been a lot of speculation about how they might implement that into their offense. But I also think just like the depth of Mahomes' drops, which it looked like were actually a little bit shallower in the preseason. I was wondering if you noticed that or had any thoughts on that.
Well, and I heard them talking about saying that was kind of a point of emphasis for him this year, was to be a little more on time in those areas and be a little more dialed in, because he understands how sacks get created in the NFL. It is interesting, too, to consider what you mentioned, the drop back depth there, some of the things about this offense for Orlando Brown. You've got two of these guys in this offensive line that came from Lincoln Riley's Oklahoma that this offense is going to borrow a lot of run game stuff from, and just in general is a little more akin to this than what Orlando certainly ran in Baltimore here. Yeah. But I guess what I'm saying is it's not totally foreign to everyone involved here. You know, for Trey Smith, I mean, what he was coming from at Tennessee and the hellscape there, it'll be night and day. But I'm very intrigued by it, but at least, I mean, they addressed the overwhelming need. Like, they got better in a place, and they were still a team that was in the Super Bowl.
It's also interesting to see on the other side of the ball, you know, they signed Jaren Reed, and when Chris Jones was just flying off the edge, who were they playing in the second week, too? I remember, but he just absolutely brutalized one of the offensive linemen. It was a
I do remember that one.
Scene.
I don't remember who was on the scene, but
that'll be interesting. Yeah, no, I like it. I think the division is a little bit challenging because of the sort of the rise of the Chargers and potentially the Broncos, two teams we'll talk about. But you know what? I mean, that's a good segue to the team I'm obviously going to take, the Bucks at two, which is like, you know, watch for the Saints the other night. So Mike and I are recording this on Tuesday. I'm assuming by the time this comes out, Jameis Winston will have won the quarterbacking job.
Please, God.
And, you know, like a little bit harder. I thought, we'll talk about the Saints later. We don't really need to talk about the Bucs. I think my only hesitation, if any, about drafting the Bucs here is actually, you know, I'm like, the division might be a little bit harder, but I'll talk about this team in depth. No need to get into it. They're stacked. The only question I have is health and depth, which is, you know, should apply to every team.
The only thing that can undermine these mutants. I'm with you.
Okay. Well, you got it. Three.
All right. Number three. I'm going to go with Buffalo here.
Okay. I was deciding between two teams.
I think I know the team.
Buffalo was one of them, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, and for Buffalo, for me, and I think I saw you tweeting about this. We've certainly seen it some in the preseason, though. If this team can start to get a semi-consistent four-down pass rush on the other side, yeah. And we've seen A.J. Epinesa start to flash a little bit, their draft pick from Iowa last year. If some of those things can start to line up here, that can really take that team from good to great. Because there were portions of last year. I remember talking with Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders when we'd have him on the radio show. There were points of last year where Josh Allen was dragging a lot of the rest of that underperforming roster through portions of that season.
Greg Rousseau also looks like a
Which, man, I wasn't sure about. Like, he's a bunch of traits. He was one of the guys that sat out last year. But, that looks like those traits are fun now.
Just to have that depth in the front seven as Jerry Hughes gets older, you know, it's like it feels like they're just, you know, we count on Jerry Hughes to just consistently give you those, like, I don't know, nine sacks or whatever a year. And it's always a question mark who else you're going to get it from. Ed Oliver has been a little bit disappointing as far as a pass rusher. So to see it have two options, they really only need one of those guys to hit. They don't need both. I mean, the other thing is, like, if Brian Daboll can fix Mitch Trubisky, what can't that man do?
Is that one of the better revenge games we've ever seen? Like, I know it was preseason, so we've got to factor the situation in.
It had to feel
really
good. It had to feel really good.
I said I would pay pay-per-view money to hear the reckless that not Mitch Trubisky, but you know his teammates. Like, your teammates want to see you get that shine on there. They had to be in that locker room. Man, those boys ain't shit over there.
Oh, my God. He was good. He wasn't like he was throwing to a lot of wide-open guys. And, I mean, the Bears have some question marks on the defense, but that offense, the Bills offense to me, like, I guess, you know, obviously if Diggs were to go down or like Deion Dawkins or obviously Josh Allen, there'd be an issue, but heavens, I mean, it looks like a juggernaut. I think that's a good pick. I'm going to take the Packers here.
Ooh.
Are you surprised? Did you think I was going to go with another team?
I did, which we can get to in a little bit here. But
I know. The team I think you thought I was going to take is my next team.
Got it.
So the board might just be falling into your lap.
Might be, but the Green Bay pick, I mean, makes an overwhelming amount of sense here, despite all the offseason consternation.
Yeah, I just, you know, looking at the division, I'm starting to back off the Vikings.
Yeah.
And I'm trying not, and that's not because of the preseason.
I know.
But there's just like a vibe around that team right now. Maybe it's Mike Zimmer going full Bulworth on America.
Right.
And just being like clearly fed up. Maybe it's their defense looking like, you know, the Big 12 out there. But like, I just, and then, you know, seeing all the weaknesses in Chicago as well. You know, we're cognizant of all these weaknesses, and we'll talk about the Bears, but I just kind of feel like they're going to roll through their division. And I also don't, I said this when we talked about the Packers on the NFC North pod, but like, that defense has so much talent at every level. It's like they just haven't put it together. It's a combination of coaching and execution.
Yep.
Matt Bowen was great on this. And, yeah, but, like, they have, you know, rising stars like Rashawn Gary. Jair Alexander didn't make the NFL 100 is, like, crazy. That's probably the craziest omission to me. I think there's just too much talent on both. Like, this is a very deep roster. And the question I had was the offensive line, and I think
man,
it's going to be fine.
What a luxury they have. I don't know if there's a pick that's been as underrated in recent memory as Elgton Jenkins.
Yeah.
What he's able to do for them, the fact that right now while they're waiting for David Bakhtiari to come back, they can just kick their... I mean, so I wrote this down. I think Elgton Jenkins last year became the first Packers O-lineman since the merger in 1970 to start games at center, guard, and tackle in the same season.
Wow.
And start them well. Like, he's just out at left tackle making... Like, listen, no one's going to be David Bakhtiari. David Bakhtiari is arguably the best left tackle in football. But the fact that you've got that security blanket in an offensive line that's got good players in a lot of the other spots here, but to have that anchor is insane.
I mean, just some of the... So I guess Josh Myers is going to start,
yeah,
which is interesting. But, I mean, some of the picks in recent years... Oh, Amari Rodgers, I think, has flashed a little bit in the preseason. You know,
Kylan Hill. I know that's a backfield where he's probably not going to see a bunch of touches here.
I love him. Just in 2017, you got Aaron Jones in the fifth round. Jamal Williams no longer with the team. 2018, you've got Jaire Alexander, Marquez Valdes-Scantling in the fifth round, Equanimeous St. Brown in the sixth round. But then 2019. I mean, Rashawn Gary, Darnell Savage, Elgton Jenkins, 1, 2, 3 is absurd.
Dear God.
Almost like that GM might know what he's doing. Let me see. So are you going to take the pick that team that I was going to take? Let's see.
Now I've got two teams in my head that I thought it could have been with you, but I am going to go with Baltimore here.
I have Baltimore here. I'm still... really struggling on the Baltimore versus Cleveland front.
Yes.
And I talked about the bad vibes around the Vikings. The Baltimore also has a lot of...
They need to burn
problems.
Sage right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, stuff's going... I mean, there's just injuries right and left to the receiver core.
Yeah.
The latest is that Rashad Bateman is on track to return. Yeah. I think he's practicing again, thank God, on behalf of the Bateman.
Oof.
But, I mean, so this is pretty high.
Yeah, this is pretty high.
Difficult
but
division.
Tough division here, like... And I mean, listen, as much as we want to talk about the receiving core, all that stuff, like it is all predicated on Lamar Jackson, who, by the way, like what a strange thing where we already saw here. And I'm not putting this on Jeff Darlington. He was just the one, it wasn't Jeff Darlington. It was, Jeremy Fowler. Yeah, Jeremy Fowler. Sorry to our white, good-haired reporters
they
here.
They really both have excellent... Jeremy Fowler, underrated hair.
Yes, incredibly well-coiffed. He's always smiling, too. They're both very happy guys, so I'm sorry for mixing them up there, but the thing where people were already talking and like the league people questioning Lamar Jackson, like he's been great for so long,
yeah.
And in a year where he won his first playoff game behind an offensive line that I remember talking to you last year, pointed out, had to basically change the way they did football up front. And that dude came back in from diarrhea halftime, and we're going to doubt him now? Like, come on.
Unconfirmed. Alleged, please. Journalistic.
Alleged diarrhea halftime.
Also, wow. Never heard anyone accuse him of that. I've only heard just a generalized... This is gross. All right. listen, win another one, man. You only won one. Let's see another one. I think the biggest concern in this particular exercise is the division.
Yes, absolutely. And it's the Browns problem that we talked about really and truly in that. Pittsburgh, I don't know. I go back and forth where I feel like we almost do like the Mac Jones draft thing with Pittsburgh where we swing so far one way and now I go back and look at it more and more here and go, all right, like the most interesting, I mean, we'll do the Pittsburgh tangent in a little bit here because I have Matt Canada thoughts that I want to get out there. But the division is the concern there to see what they can do defensively there. I know they signed Justin Houston, Odafe Oweh's huge traits guy out of Penn State here who has been, by and large, it sounds like having a really good camp. I think having like Calais and Justin in that room with him.
Quiddy's been good too. So you got Quiddy, Oweh, Rousseau, all the traits pass rushers.
Yeah.
Killing it. Love that.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of that too is length, especially like the trench stuff. I feel like in the NFL, where you land matters so much because most of these guys come in anyway. Like even the not like traitsy guys come in so raw in those spots because you don't have the reps in college anymore. So where you land is huge, and he got a huge win landing here.
Okay. This is hard because if it was a power rankings, I know what I would do. But this is not a power rankings.
Yes, it's.
And that's why I'm going to make a pick that I don't If it was not a power ranking, if it was a power rankings, I want to be clear. Yep. I would not put this team. Let's see. We're at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're up spot 7. We've picked 6 teams.
We've picked 6 teams already?
Or maybe not. I don't know.
I think
I'm already having trouble with
I know.
This. I think we did. We picked 6 teams.
Okay.
I'm going to take the Titans here.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know what, though?
Rolling the dice. You can't see me, but I'm rolling the dice, people.
Confirmed. Dice rolling.
And this is purely because of the exercise.
Yeah. Because of the division.
Yes, the division. I realize that Carson Wentz is practicing again. Miraculous recovery from both him and Quentin Nelson. Slash maybe the most confusing injury timeline, double injury timeline ever.
5 to 12.
Slash, why don't all teams just do that constantly to mess with people? Why don't they just throw a 5 to 12 on every injury?
God, see, you know what? Bill Belichick, who I'm sure listens to this podcast religiously, has now just been given another weapon. So well done, Mina.
I mean, I want those hours of watching Sam Ellinger versus Jacob Eason of my life back, speculating over a Marcus Mariota trade.
It shows you how sick the preseason makes our brains.
Sick. Okay, but we'll get to the Colts. Yeah, I think the Titans win the division. And so this is, to me, a bet on, like, getting that extra 5 points. I think, like, the rest of the teams, I think aside from the Chiefs, Bucks, Packers, Bills-ish, like, there's no clear, like, this team's going to win the division.
Yes.
Except for the Titans, to me. Now, obviously, I have the concerns about the defense. Like what I've seen so far. From the secondary, which, you know, big question mark. They've got Jackrabbit Jenkins.
Yes.
My baby Elijah Molden tearing it up on those slot blitzes.
He has been.
Boom, baby.
Oh, my God. He is piss and vinegar.
And I think this offense should be a steamroller. Todd Downing might prove me wrong, but I just look around the division. I saw Jackson. It's really the product of, like, who knew Jags Saints preseason week 2 could just rock the NFL? But I think the Colts defense is still going to be good, and we'll talk about that team. But just the uncertainty at the quarterback and offensive line. I'm rolling with Tennessee. Tighten up. Also, Titans fans, if you're listening, you're always mad at me for...
Which, I feel like you were an early supporter. Like,
I'm
a Tannehill
defender.
I've been listening to you shout tighten up for what feels like 5 years.
I was literally we did that ESPN survey of executives around the league, and
yeah.
Ryan Tannehill didn't even make the top 10, and I went on television, and I said, this is wrong. Somebody has to say something. This is wrong. Ryan Tannehill has been a top 10 quarterback now for 2 years. What does he have to do? So
I'll take that a step further here and continuing to stroke the Tennessee fans listening to this podcast. I think Ryan Tannehill is sneaky a top 5 best looking quarterback in the NFL. I think he is underratedly handsome.
No comment on that. This is an off-air conversation.
All right, that's fair enough here. I wanted to weigh that in here. Objectifying men is, like, kind of a thing in my world, trying to even the scales of years of misogyny.
It's less about my unwilling, you know, I'm happy to talk about vibes, but I don't quite agree.
He's one of those guys, it's like the Kirk Cousins effect, where once he smiles, you lose a point.
Did you see my tweet about how Joey Bosa is 1.75 Kirk Cousins?
Yes.
It hit me like a thunderclap during the game when they were interviewing Joey Bosa on the sideline during the Chargers preseason game. And I don't know. Maybe it's that he's got that facial hair, but he, like, turned to the side, and I was like, oh, my God.
It was the side profile, for sure.
It's like Kirk Cousins ate Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Once I saw it, too, it pissed me off because I know now for the rest of the season, it's over.
Okay, you're up.
All right. This is, again, where it gets tough because now you've reminded me that, like, I've got to play the game the right way here.
It's not a power ranking.
It's not a power ranking, which makes this next move both dangerous and necessary. I'm going to pick Dallas.
Whoa! I thought I was going to be sneaky by picking them quickly because of the division. Okay.
Yeah. No, I just I look at the rest of that division here and...
Playing with fire, and that fire's name is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yes, that's the only thing that keeps me up at night is knowing that Washington now gets the Ryan Fitzpatrick experience. We all get to go on this roller coaster hellscape ride. The defense is what the defense is. But again, like you said, we can only speculate about health so much. And I saw Shefty say that there's thought that Dak and the shoulder thing might not be right all year, or whatever the hell that means. Like, there is some concern on that. But again, if I'm going to just say, looking at the roster, looking at who should win that division right now, obviously theirs is maybe more predicated on health than most, because at least three of the five on that offensive line are guys coming off injury from last year. Certainly, you're just counting on the defense not being an embarrassing tire fire like it was last year. Which is still possible here. I mean, so, but I just think, again, if I'm going to look around here and try and play the game as best I can, I would think Dallas wins that division, so I'm going to rock with them here.
Stefania Bell, the other day, I forgot what show she was on with me, but she was really optimistic about Dak's health, because everybody was freaking out because, oh, the shoulder. You know,
oh, during the fantasy marathon, yeah.
Yeah, she was like, it's fine, it's fine. And that calmed me. She has a very calming presence generally. But
oh, yes.
When Stefania Bell says a player is fine, you feel good. You feel good about it. Yeah, I mean, everyone knows the score with Dallas, and that score is 45-42.
Yes.
Probably.
Yes, enjoy playing in the Big 12 championship in Dallas December 12th.
Yeah, now I'm like, I gotta like counter your move and take Washington here, because you can't take them both.
There we go.
Because one of them's gonna win the division. I think we agree.
See, we've finally fallen into the gamesmanship portion of this draft a little bit more in year three.
Yeah.
We've settled in nicely here. I'm proud of us.
I'm gonna take Washington. Obviously that front seven looks like a nightmare, and not the kind of nightmare where it's like, oh, I forgot to take this college course and I'm accidentally signed up and I have to take the final now even though I didn't study. More like the kind of nightmare where Chase Young looks like it and Montez Sweat looks like I almost said the name of the guy. There's a certain horror movie right now running advertisements where you can't say the name. And every time the advertisement comes up, I almost said it, and I'm glad I didn't. But he looks like that person who shall not be named.
Are you afraid? How many times am I supposed to say it?
I'm not going to say it once.
What, Candyman?
What are you doing?
Candyman.
I'm so mad right now. Because you know why I'm mad? Because in the movie, people around the guy who says it die too, not just the person who says it.
And I've done my homework. I know I'm safe.
You've put everyone listening to this podcast in danger.
I haven't said it. I think it's three times you got to say it. So
you just stop that right now.
We'll see. We got probably an hour left of this podcast.
So far, again, overreacting to preseason. Fitz looks good to me. He looks like and by good, I mean, he looks like he did last year. He's pushing the ball downfield. More importantly, and I think this is something I was looking for because it's like preseason and all that, he's getting out quickly, and I think the offensive line in Washington is a sneaky potential issue that tackles. Although Chicago's looking at Charles Leno now with like saucer hard eyes, but what do we do? But I think, you know, having Ryan who's going to just get rid of it super quickly is going to help that offense a lot. So.
Yep. Like I say, and by the way, while we're talking Washington football, I know because he is someone we're both very pro here. Shout out to Jared Patterson and the hive that we'll build around the undrafted free agent sweet baby running back out of Buffalo.
I owned him in Dynasty. Wish I had him.
I don't think I do either, which is a shame.
All right, you're up.
All right. I feel like I've started to run out of teams that are like clear division winners. The triangle. I've done a bad job of keeping track of that, but
well, there's one division from which none of us have taken teams, even though if this was our power ranking, at least two of these teams probably would have already gone.
Is the difficult one here. You know what? I'm going to save you from having to do it and pick Seattle.
Okay.
Again, just another one of those things, like, we kind of know the story on Seattle at this point. They got all their offseason issues. Well, not worked out. Russ is back here, and we know what's at stake there. They got Jamal Adams signed to a deal who said his goal is to get 12.5 sacks this year. I think he's almost 12 or maybe 13 sacks away from breaking the all-time record in the NFL by sacks for a DB. So that's unfortunately, it seems like where it's going to come from. But
did you see I think it was Sam Monson joking about when he was, you know, reportedly asking to be tagged as a linebacker. He's like, why not just go edge rusher, go all the way?
Honestly.
Yeah, I would also like him to stop 12.5 passes at some point. But no, I'm just kidding. Jamal Adams is good. The hate is out of control. Seahawks apparently took a look at Geno Atkins.
I saw that, which would be...
Yeah, he's not who he was, but still, they clearly need depth on the defensive line with the departure of the aforementioned Jaron Reed.
How are you feeling about Jordan Brooks? KJ Wright now, still not signed at this
point,
right? Which is bizarre to me.
Yeah, and I think my understanding is like he wanted to go back, but because of they drafted Jordan Brooks, you know, if they've got capital, if they've got cap space, they would like to spend it on a different position. Is what I think is going on. Possibly corner or Geno Atkins. I get that. It sucks. And I really, like, KJ Wright is so good. It's bizarre. The only explanation I can think of for him not being on a team might be that he wants to return to Seattle rather than sign with.
Huh.
But I don't know. I'm just speculating. Okay. I'm going to take the Rams then, if you're taking the Seahawks, for the obvious reason. Same thing as me taking Washington. I hate that you're controlling the board. Like, you took Dallas, so I had to be reactionary and take Washington. You took Seattle, so I had to react and take Los Angeles. I think Seattle and Los Angeles, to me, are kind of neck and neck
yep.
for the division, so we don't have to talk about it too much. Okay. You're up.
All right. Sorry, it's great podcasting.
You're on the clock.
I got two teams that are really hurting me right now. I'm going to go with New England.
Wow. Dang it. I wanted New England.
I have fallen so back in love with this team just because, and I think it was, I think I heard you and Harry Douglas on First Take the other day with Max talking about this team kind of starting to do the thing that we all figured would come at some point during this offensive revolution in the NFL, which is someone was going to zag a little bit and say, all right, we're just going to load up front. Yeah. Like, they just quietly put the boogeyman offensive line core back together. Like, the one that ruined Sam Darnold's life, it's just those guys again.
Thank you for saying boogeyman, first of all, and not the other thing. I think this is Dominique Foxworth and I did defensive rankings. I put them at 10. The more I think about it, I should have put them higher. I think this defense is going to be really, really good.
Yeah.
Just watching, like, Josh Uche, who thankfully is fine. He got hurt. And Matt Judon. Like, God, Matt Judon. Could there have been, like, he's such a good fit for what they do up front. The games, you know, using a pass rusher in such a versatile manner, having him drop into coverage at times. Like, he fits so well. He's going to get so many one-on-ones, and he's so fast. The young guys, you know, like Uche and Duggar, like, are going to take another step.
Well, and it works so well, and I saw quotes from Belichick talking about this, but, like, when he can look out on the field and know that Hightower and Kyle Van Noy are out there, like, again, this is the theory we talked about with Baltimore, where it speeds up the development for all these guys because you don't have to worry about coaching them as much. They're getting that real-life PhD from these dudes.
I almost think it doesn't matter who plays quarterback.
I completely agree. Have you watched Trent Brown? Like, they're going to get good Trent Brown again. Like, not the Vegas paid one. They're going to do what New England always does.
The whole offensive line, I mean, aside from what happened to your baby Isaiah Wynn in the opener against Chase Young.
The future defensive player of the year doing that to this year's Pro Bowl left tackle.
Max getting the ball out super quickly. But the Cam drives, it's really jumped out to me because Cam's holding on to it a pretty long time. Yep. And that's the thing about Cam is, like, he still zips it. He's still, like, his arm strength is still good. But, you know, he's still, like, a tick slower. And it doesn't matter because the offensive line is so good. I think you're right. Like you said, defenses are going to have a hard time defending this team with their multiple tight ends. That it's a very run-heavy scheme. I'm high on New England. I can't believe this team fell to me, but I'm taking Cleveland here.
That was the one.
I thought I would have to take them higher. I like after you took the Ravens. I think they could win the division.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just kind of still want to see the defense on the field. I'm still like a little bit apprehensive about all of it. It is funny to me. Yesterday we were talking about Justin Fields and the whole, like, feed him to Aaron Donald, feed Andy to Aaron Donald thing. And I was like, y'all realize you got Myles Garrett and Clowney in week three. Like, it's never going to get... And then they got, like, the Steelers, the Packers, a bunch of terrifying front sevens.
Like...
But, you know, I think everyone... The assumption is that the offense is going to look exactly like it did last year and that with the addition of one Odell Beckham Jr., I think that's a pretty strong upside bet. So I really think Browns and Ravens are neck and neck.
Yeah. God. And like the whole year two thing with Stefanski, like I know we wear that out, but like for good reason, what they did last year was just freak show and could not have been expected. All right. Sorry. I've already started to like think of my next pick now. It's Because this is where it's going to win you the league right here. This is much like a normal NFL draft where my mid-round picks are going to be what wins it here. All right.
Come on.
I am going to go.
You got to herd out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, jeez. All right. I'm going to go with. I'm going to get nasty and go with New Orleans here.
You did the Jameis versus
it just
the Jags backups.
I tell
you
what,
there were some starters out there.
Yeah, you know there were some starters out there, but it, you know what it is? It's less even just that Jameis solidified, but we all probably knew. Like I don't know how many people outside of Sean Payton believed in their heart of hearts that Taysom Hill was going to be a realistic thing here. But it's just this idea that, all right, we know what this offense was. And obviously, the huge, huge, big, glaring sign in all of this is Michael Thomas, that late offseason surgery that seems to chap everyone here. It sounds like the last update we heard is that timeline could be a little more favorable for the team than originally anticipated. I thought I heard that.
I'm sorry. Who's Michael Thomas? Because I only recognize Marquez Callaway in this house.
I was just going to ask if you wanted to do this as like the full-blown on-air apology.
I mean, that dude.
My God.
By the way, if you're listening, Greg Rosenthal, Common Meaning Kime Show guest, says he mentioned Marquez Callaway on this podcast, and I didn't know if it's true, so let us know if that's true, if you're a listener.
Go back and do the work for us.
I mean, the other thing, though, about the Saints, and then we'll get to the final pick of the first half, is that, and as usual, we're going to have to speed up the second half.
Yes.
Is the defense, like, I know I've been griping about the depth, but Marcus Davenport looks like a monster. Again, going up against Walker Little, the aforementioned Walker
yes.
Little. And it's like, oh, right, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is one of the best slot corners in the NFL, and Marcus Williams is really good. Like, the linebacker group is really freaking deep. It's a good defense still. So if Jameis actually looks anything close to the guy we saw last night, this should be a really good team. I still think the Bucs are a better team, but they should be a wild card team.
They should be. And again, as we talk about the Michael Thomas aspect of things, if Jameis can, he's going to unlock a part of the offense they've had to throw away for the last 3 years here. Maybe that helps you overcome some of losing Michael Thomas just because you're more variable.
I'm going to wrap the first half up with a variable pick, high variance pick. I'm going to take the Chargers here.
All right.
Feels like the right. We're in that kind of middle tier where they could go either way.
Yep.
If Derwin James is healthy, if Justin Herbert doesn't regress, the offensive line. My one concern about the Chargers, just to be really quick about it, is their offensive line depth sucks. Watching Easton Stick and Chase Daniel in the preseason, they didn't have Bulaga and Slater were out. Slater, I think, is fine. My understanding is Bulaga. It's a little bit more concerning, but the next man up should not be blocking for Justin Herbert. So that's a concern I have. But if they're healthy, and I realize I just said about the Chargers, which is the equivalent of saying the name that I won't say ever, this could be a really dangerous team.
We talk about vibes all the time here. The Chargers just eternally, some of the worst vibes on earth, despite having the most elite uniform combination out there and being in a sunny location. I don't get it.
Such an elite combo. All right, let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to do the second half of the draft a little faster.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/MinaShow, MinaShow, today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MinaShow.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now, get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, buddy, you're up.
All right. God, I've got to really, I wish I had kept track of like how many teams I picked in each division here. I didn't really slot my document nearly as well as I purported.
It's fine.
All right.
I barely know what the rules are.
Yeah, we're all just drawing this up in the dirt at this point. I am going to go with, you know what? I will balance the scales here. I realize one spot we neglected. I'll go Indy.
Yeah, that's smart.
Carson Wentz if Carson Wentz comes back, is healthy, actually has the Frank Reich reunion we all expect. Quentin Nelson, I'm a little less worried about here, but that offensive line trying to figure out how they're going to bridge the gap at left tackle before Eric Fisher gets back from that Achilles. And right now it is not looking great out there at this point. So left tackle could be a bit of a concern, but that's another defense here. Kwity Paye looks like he is every bit as advertised so far, yeah. Albeit limited
huge.
Sample size.
That's
so,
huge for them. Yeah. I mean, you know, we know what this defense is going to do pretty much. They need another consistent pass rusher, not named DeForest Buckner. And this is, again, the team where it's like if, you know, Field said this last week, if, like, they just need, like, two guys to step up, Kwity Paye and one of the right receivers.
I'm going to try and not butcher the last name, but Deo Odembo.
Yeah, so he's out for a while.
Out for a little bit now here. Ben Benagu's also been giving them decent reps there, okay. So he's the third-year guy. It just feels like they're kind of waiting, which is good because I think according to Football Outsiders, they were basically non-existent pass rush last year outside of Buckner, and they had the easiest schedule in football last season. So
I think with that, we now have two teams in every division. So you have balanced the scales.
There we go.
We've got a potential winner, the most likely two winners. And you know what? Actually, no, the NFC North, we have not taken, we only took the Packers.
Oh.
I think. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I don't want anyone else.
That being said,
I'm going to take the Niners here.
Yep, that one.
This is again sort of a high variance thing because if Lance, the thing about Trey Lance is like he doesn't have to be awesome for them to be awesome, and it's been hard for me to like. He to me is like a very difficult preseason quarterback to discuss because. Obviously, it's been extremely like it's been a real roller coaster where he's had these incredible highs. You know, there's like perfect balls, always to Trent Sherfield, or he's looked erratic, which is who he was in college. The thing is, like, he hasn't been running, and it's like, how do you evaluate a quarterback where like a huge part of his sell, especially as a rookie, is what he adds to the design run game, and. It's not something Kyle Shanahan is going to do in the preseason. One, because he doesn't want him to get hit. Two, because he doesn't want the rest of the NFL to see what he's going to do in the design run game. It would be like if you had asked Lamar Jackson to not run and then evaluate him as a quarterback. And that's not an instant. Like, that is part of his awesomeness. And so I don't know when he's going to start. I think he's going to start at some point. I think it's going to be the kind of thing where they kind of sort of incorporate him in as it goes on. And then maybe when Jimmy throws too many picks, that'll be it. But
it feels like, and I mean, we've all talked about this at certain points, the way the NFL's offseason's been structured, the first quarter of the season becomes an extended preseason of sorts. It seems like where we're tracking, because I would love to see them throw him out there at the beginning and just let him work through a lot of this. The guy needs more reps playing football. Like, that's just the beginning. That's the real beginning and end of it. But I can see them trotting Jimmy out there for the fourth quarter of the season. Bunch of really nice red zone packages for Trey where he gets his feet wet a little bit and then just slide him in.
All right, what you got?
You know what? In the interest of what you brought up here, I'll go ahead and just take Minnesota now.
Mm. It's a smart move.
Again, just playing the game. Like, I'm not in love with this team. Trusting Kirk Cousins seems like a mistake at any stretch in the imagination, and that's not even the off-the-field stuff with him right now. But, I'll go with Minnesota and not feel particularly great about it.
Listen,
just re-signed Everson Griffin, too, which tells you kind of where they feel at with their pass rush depth here.
Not great.
No. Michael Pierce back, though, which is exciting. I mean, I know this is a pro nose guard podcast and one of the first people to really celebrate Vita Vea in the way that he needed to be last year when he came back. But Michael Pierce coming back is a big deal for that defense. He was sorely missed last year. And so now you have him opposite Dalvin Tomlinson, Sheldon, why am I blanking last
Richardson.
Name? Richardson.
Yeah. UW Huskies just dominating. Byron Murphy's looked really good too. I'm not taking the Cardinals here, but Murphy, Molden, we're going to get Taylor Rapp starting with the Rams.
Yeah.
I am going, listen up, Yinzers, who are mad at me. They're so mad at me, and it's not fair because I support this team. I don't know what I was
about. You really limped into that one.
I started that sentence without seeing where I was going. It was like a Ben Roethlisberger deep ball, it rose, and then it didn't fall. No.
Oh.
But the thing is, and I want to, and this is what makes me upset. All nuance is lost. I still think this is a good team. Like, I think the defense is going to be good. I think the front seven is going to be fire. And, you know, I had some questions about the secondary. Don't need to get into all that. But offensively, I said this on First Take, but my words were taken out of context. But Roethlisberger looked good. Like, it was literally, I only got mad at someone because they pointed to a terrible deep ball, but like, he doesn't have to have a great deep ball for this offense to be efficient. Drew Brees proved that to us for 2 years. They just need to, the most important thing, and I think every Steelers fan would agree with me, is he just needs more than 2.2 seconds to throw it. Some of that is on him, but most of it's on the offensive line, and I think there's things that Matt Canada can do schematically to buy him a little bit of time. I was intrigued by the fact that Ben Roethlisberger was under center a little bit in the preseason outing, has back turned to the defense, which is not something he does. So I think, you know, there, and I also think the use of motion is going to help Najee Harris and, you know, keep linebackers a little bit on tilt and get them out of their fits. I don't know. I think this could be an average enough offense. And if the defense is anywhere close to what they were last year, that there's a team that's potentially a wild card team.
You're right. It all centers on the group up front, though. And it's weird because I'm going to kind of talk out of both sides of my mouth here, where I go into this season, and you know I'm pretty friendly with the numbers community here. I believe in all these things and support it. But, man, I really want Najee Harris to rub it in the face a lot of these nerds that talked about explosiveness with him. Like, I just really want him to go out there and eat in the ways that he can. But it was a pick I wouldn't have made in the first round. Like, that capital needed to go towards that offensive line. Kendrick Green, who they picked out of Illinois, I think is going to start at center for them,
yep.
It looks like here. So it's going to be him, Trey Turner, Dotson at left guard, and then you've got Banner and Okorafor at left tackle. Left tackle's the one that concerns me.
That's the one
here.
That, oh, he was not good. He was the one I was watching. Yeah, I mean,
it's him and like of the games I rewatched yesterday of teams that need to worry about their starting left tackle, him and Miami. Austin Jackson is not good enough. Like, he's just not good enough right now, but Okorafor falls in where I look at the rest of that group and I say, all right, I see things that you can kind of work with here. Trey Turner's played a bunch of football. Zach Banner was the starter before the injury for them. Like, Kevin Dotson, who we did that weird thing where people said he was out of shape this offseason. Guy's a monster. So it's young and upside-based up front there, but the Canada stuff helps. I just wonder how long that works, too, because outside of his stay in the south side in that facility when he was at Pitt, Matt Canada's other ventures have not been quite as successful here, so...
I like the skill players.
Yes, very much. Very, very much.
All right, you're up. We got to hurry.
Yeah, we do. All right, I am going to go with... I'm going to end up making bad picks because I'm rushing now.
I might be trying to stress you out.
Yeah, no, it is working, Mina. It is working. I am going to go with... Give me the Raiders.
Okay.
That was a panic pick. Trust me, that was a panic pick.
Now, quick justification.
Quick justification is I was looking between them and Denver in that division here, who I know everyone else is a little higher on here. Teddy Bridgewater did look good under center for them. There are things to be excited about here. This is really just me kind of trying to be a little bit reckless at this point, probably panic.
Well,
picking.
You just explained my next pick. I'm taking Denver.
Yeah,
I thought Teddy looked really good. Actually, I was really impressed by, like, we know he's accurate and, you know, we know he's going to, well, I was going to say he's not going to turn the ball over. I think that's a little bit of a matter of dispute. But I was really impressed by his movement in the pocket because he was actually under pressure a fair amount in this last outing. And he handled it really well. A lot of little subtle movements, stepping up, dodging rushers. I also just, you know, I've raved about this offense. I think that the defense, pardon me, the defense, I think, gives them a floor, even in a very difficult division. All right, you next.
Let's go with...
This is what the part of the draft where fans are insulted by us for taking them here.
Well, and this is also the part of the draft where I don't feel good about any of the words that come out of my mouth here. And this is tough because now we're in the portion of the game where I don't know if I need to pick based on division. I know these teams are going to win games. I worry about owning three teams in one division.
Oh, interesting. I didn't think about that. Yeah,
this is the difficult part because there's points that are going to get left on the table. But I don't think this team is going to win in their division. Oh, man. You know what? In the interest of what we talked about, 17-game season, I'm going to worry less about it and just pick Miami.
Dang it, I wanted Miami.
Yeah, I couldn't justify picking the team that was next on my board here because I don't think they're good.
Oh, now I want to know who that is. But I just want to get in a quick word about Tua. I think he's looked good in the preseason. I think you're seeing a little bit of what we loved about him in college, which is not explosive playmaking necessarily, although he did have that one nice throw to Gesicki, and then he had, I can't remember who it was doing last week, but that he's really, really good at leading receivers.
Yep.
He throws such a casual ball, and in an offense where he has very, very fast receivers, I think they're going to do a lot of the work for him after the catch. You know, he looks poised. He looks... like, not skittish.
He looks like the guy from Alabama again. Yeah. Like, I always liken Tua to, like, a viper at Alabama. Everything he does is quick and crisp, and he's making those quick decisions again. So, yep. I feel very good about that. By the way, start Liam Eikenberg at left tackle. Just do it. Don't think about it.
Has he been guard?
He was at left guard for a lot of camp. He had a little bit of shoulder injury issue. They subbed him out at guard. He played some with the ones at right tackle in the second preseason game for them and looked pretty good, which I didn't know if that was because Tua's a lefty or not. Oh, I was talking about that with Brandon Thorne.
Yeah.
I know we don't delineate as much anymore in the modern NFL, but if you were going to go blindside, that would be his blindside. The problem is, I think having your two best tackles on the field means at this point Austin Jackson's got to come off because he hasn't looked good.
Ooh, that would be a bold call for them.
It'd be tough.
See, it's funny. I thought that the offensive line has looked better this year, but I also think that I'm dumb and I might be fooled by the fact that Tua's getting rid of the ball quicker.
It helps, but they're doing things like Hunt, the right guard.
Yeah.
Legitimately good dude here. Like, they've got guys up there that are like playing well no matter what. Yeah. It's really left tackle's your issue. And then just continuity. You've been moving that group around a lot during camp, and it's hard to kind of get a beat.
Okay, I'm up next, and there's like five teams I view in this next tier. I think there's like a bottom six tier.
Yeah.
Six. This could go a lot of ways. I am going to take the Bears here.
Okay.
I don't feel good about it at all.
What, you're not excited about that Andy Dalton week one starter announcement?
Is it too late to change?
All votes are final here on the Mini Time Show.
Why did I do this? The offensive line. Let me ask you this, just to make this a fruitful discussion. Is there anything the offensive line can do to get better? So Tevin Jenkins is out until like November,
yeah,
I believe. Any hope in the immediate future?
I mean, short of like seeing who shakes loose at the end of training camp, like if there's other bodies you can pick up to help here, like, and I saw Dan griping about this on behalf of the quarterbacks this morning, talking about the rookies and how they're not getting help, some of their coordinator wise. And he cited certainly what we saw from Trevor Lawrence and the Jags last night, but also Justin Fields and the Bears offense, which helped Mitch Downton some down the stretch of last season. But I think both offenses are going to kind of have to turtle a little bit if they want to help those groups up front here. Like, you need to give them more max protection. You need to give them more stuff that's going to move the pocket, which is another reason to put Justin Fields out there earlier, because those are more tricks in his bag. But it's really going to be smoke and mirrors.
I think he starts week two. I think Andy just gets his hiney kicked. Hiney, wow. Never said that before. Didn't feel good. Because I was almost going to say the other word, and then I was just like, my brain was frantically combing through thesaurus.com in my head. I think that's a stupid approach, generally, for the reasons I mentioned earlier, but I don't think it... I think there's a plan. It's a bad plan.
Yeah. We don't endorse this plan.
Because the thing is, like, if it's about protecting Justin, just sit him the whole season. But they're not going to do that.
No.
They're going to put him in at some point with this offensive line. So it's like either start him week one or just sit him at least until, I don't know, week eight or whatever. When Tevin Jenkins, I mean, not that Tevin Jenkins is going to come in and be the savior,
yeah.
But it's just doesn't actually, there's no like coherent logic behind it.
No, like it's just a bunch of people wanting to put these guys in glass. Like that doesn't help. Like at some point, like I understand we all have David Carr in the back of our mind and we know how bad this can go, but damn.
That's what bothers me too, because like he's not David Carr.
No.
It's not 2003. You know, like he can move. Offenses are different. The offensive line also, like, that was a historically bad group, so.
Yes.
But it's just, it's a bad comp. It always gets brought up, and it kind of bothers me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you're next.
I'll go with the Cardinals here.
Yeah, I had the Cardinals next.
That was the one I couldn't justify picking before Miami, because I don't think they're going to be good. I think Cliff is probably going to get fired this year. Like, it's just.
Offense look gross.
It's just, it's ugly. Like, it went.
I know Hopkins wasn't in, but like.
Yeah, but like.
You should be able to do stuff. Kyler Murray, Rondale Moore, A.J. Green.
You would think. And, like, Rodney Hudson coming over is nice up front. Like, we know we've been looking for stability. But, like, it's just a nothing burger. Like, Cliff got brought in off this air raid wave that we were doing there. And they thought, but, like, this is just who Cliff has been.
Yeah.
Like, he's exactly what we got at Texas Tech, which is fun enough to score some points in certain spots because he's had a couple of generational quarterbacks. But then the rest of it is just meh. The defense is going to be fun to watch, though, just because Isaiah Simmons finally got a good number. He's in a single-digit nine now, which means he can actually operate well again, and he's next to Zaven Collins, which means at the very least, Vance Joseph, do some crazy with these guys.
Oh, he will,
You've got two of, like, the greatest athletes, large athletes in the NFL. Let them run free.
Field and I were texting during the first game because they were really spotlighting Zaven because, you know, he's a first-round draft pick, and he had, like, I think blitzed a run or something, did something kind of fun. And I was like, he's about to get blown up in coverage in like one, two, three, and then a half. You know, I mean.
Which is tough because Zaven is actually better in coverage than you would expect. Like, I got pissed. I did a couple Tulsa games last year. And you'd get pissed seeing him drop back because I thought his best skill was rushing the passer.
Yeah.
But they would drop him back, and it was game-winning interceptions for touchdowns, game-clinching ones in the fourth quarter. Like, the guy's a decent zone dropper. Now, that was the college level. He was paying the group of five, but, like...
Yeah, it's going to be different.
He's just an insane athlete. Like,
when they get, like, I don't know, some...
Cole Beasley
on him or something.
He's another one, though. Like, I want to give him two or three years because he's a super small-town Oklahoma kid. Like, he's as late bloomer as late bloomer can get. So, a lot of good football there.
All right. So, I've got, like I said, I got three teams in this next tier. I'm going to go Falcons here.
All right.
Defense is troubling. Although... DPs is just in full yellow mode, and I am living for it. I think the starting offense should be good with, you know, Arthur Smith and Kyle Pitts and Calvin the God Ridley. So obviously offensive line is a concern. But, a team that was really unlucky last year in terms of, like, point differential, crossing sports, and all that. So, yeah.
Well, and as someone pointed out to you on Twitter, they've got future Lock Hall of Famer Adi Ogundeji lining up for them. How can you bet against this team? No, it'll be be the usual Falcons experience here. I'm gonna go the Giants.
I had them next, and that was I wanted to take them.
Yeah,
great defense.
Defense is going to be a joy to watch here. Offensively, man, I know I've seen like one good Will Hernandez pass blocking clip, but their plan around that unit, like I've heard everyone say nice stuff about this. I was driving in this morning, listening to the morning show, and someone said they've given Daniel Jones so much around him on offense, there's no reason he shouldn't take that next step unless it's him. And I said, no, there's a whole wall full of reasons in front of him why this could go very poorly still.
I mean, are we going to call it a wall? Because it ain't a wall. It's more like a rickety fence.
Yeah, it's like going down to a subway, like a few turnstiles there. I don't mean to be that cruel because, like, Peart could take another step forward at right tackle, which, by the way, I learned the right pronunciation for that name from this podcast.
Peart. Yeah.
Andrew Thomas got better at the end of last year.
He wasn't terrible like he was
at the start of the season. But
since the theme of today's show is vibes, the Kadarius Toney vibes are not great.
Mm-mm.
Not great this summer.
Not immaculate.
Electric
vibes.
College player. The vibes are far from immaculate. Okay, I'm gonna kind of stick. do something similar, and I'm actually going to take the Eagles here. I think. We don't need to get like fully into it, but I feel like Jalen Hurts could surprise, because he has the opposite situation where he actually does have a wall in front of him, and
yes.
I think people forgot that because last year it was so bad for both him and Wentz. This was like the one like truly legitimate defensive Carson Wentz last season, and everyone's back. Andre Diller might be traded. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, Andre Diller, man, the hype when he first came into what we've got now has been different. But
it speaks to the talent that they do have. Mailata has obviously really emerged for them.
Yep.
Getting Lane Johnson back is enormous. So, yeah, I love Devontae Smith, love what I've seen from him so far. And then on the other side of the ball, the front seven should be decent as well.
Yep. Jalen Reagor sounds like he's had a good camp too. They need that one to come on here. Give him that receiver room. No one over the age of 25 in there. Like it's a young, very green group and not super like it's not like,
how good is Devontae Smith though? How slippery did he look? Even I know he had like a couple drops in that first game, but it's like, oh, he's so thin. Can like, you know, how can he beat press? Turns out you can beat press when no one can lay a freaking hand on you. Skinny representation.
Honestly, and I know Spencer Hall's talked about this a bunch, but like the Alabama version of skinny wide receiver isn't something to be trifled with there. They got a weight program that I've seen firsthand. Pretty good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's getting...
It's
getting dark.
It is scary hours out here. You know what? I'll get a little weird. I'll go Carolina here.
I had Carolina next. I don't know why I keep saying like I had them next. I'm like affirming your pick, but
it's a total upside play. You have like one of the, I'd imagine, younger defenses in pro football. Brian Burns going to be fun to watch. He seems like a guy who's like maybe getting ready to make that turn at edge rusher there. And then, you know, the Sam Darnold experiment on offense. He's got a bunch of weapons that he is, you know, pretty familiar with there. O-line concerns still, you know, certainly up in the air, but could be a fun one.
So the final five.
Yes.
The filthy five.
Cheeks.
In no particular order, Texans, Lions, Bengals, Jaguars, Jets. A lot of cats.
Wow.
Three cats.
Huh.
It's not looking good out there for the
big cats.
This is
a podcast co-hosted by a dog, so this sort of bias is probably baked in and should be acknowledged up front.
He also doesn't like the sound of planes. I don't know if he has anything against Texans. Okay, so there's a clear final team, so I'm gonna hit space a few times
and make
there.
That one abundantly
so,
clear.
Looking at this foursome, before preseason, I think I would have gone Jags because I just love Trevor Lawrence and there's some fun young players on defense, but it's been a rough preseason for Urban Meyer. The Jets, I really like what I've seen from Zach Wilson, but losing Carl Lawson is brutal, and that's a brutal secondary, and they're going to just lose a lot of games because of that defense. I don't feel great about this, but I'm going to go with the Bengals here.
That was who I had next year, too.
I think
so.
They've got decent players on the defense. There's going to be some improvement on that side of the ball. I'm still obviously the Jamar Chase stuff's concerning, but it's still too early for me to care about that. His drops do worry me more than Devontae Smith's drops because, like Jamar Chase, your thing is supposed to be like, you know,
yes,
hands and
you were getting Larry Fitzgerald comps, dude. You can't be dropping footballs.
But I still like Joe Burrow. He had also like a lot of like, you know, rough, like it looks terrible in camp, but apparently he's turned a corner and so is Jamar Chase. So I'll ride with Cincinnati.
All right. In the interest of, this is probably, at this point, I'm just looking for things to delineate the filthy five. I'll go with the narrative pick here on the other draft pick tied to the Bengals. It'll be talked about here and go with Detroit.
Okay.
Go with here. Cause same thing. Panay Sewell at right tackle this camp was
Can you talk about that? Because so he's had a lot of rough outings.
Yeah.
How rough are they really, and how much of it is the left tackle to right tackle conversion?
I'd say the vast majority of it. And remember, like we talked about this when he was coming out, he's a guy that's so young, and you could watch in Oregon because he was a 2020 opt-out guy, so didn't play that 2020 season. So young player who, if you go back and watch his 2019 tape, it's like watching like a, for my nerds out there, it's like watching a sand fight. Like he got better in game. You'd watch him make adjustments. Technique wise, he's still getting to the point. Like Rashawn Slater, infinitely cleaner prospect coming out. So Panay is already a guy where you were going to have to work some hand stuff, make sure he was right technique. And now he's trying to flip all this stuff in his brain. And for a guy that's such a naturally gifted athlete, I think more so than like some meticulous technician, that turn requires more thinking. And if you're having him think, you're slowing him down a little bit. And so all those are like very legitimate reasons why, quite frankly, I would have put him at left tackle to begin with here. I wouldn't be messing around with all this stuff right now, but that's why we're going to see this be a little slower.
I just realized I'm picking last.
Ooh.
Sucks for me. Okay. I'm going to go. they're both J teams, so I'm going to go with the Jets. I'm going Jets. I don't feel good about it for the aforementioned defensive reasons, but man, the Urban Meyer. I like, this is me picking Robert Saleh over Urban Meyer. Just think of it that way.
Yes. Well, I mean, Zach Wilson's looked by far the best of the rookie quarterbacks during the preseason, too. Like, it's, yeah. I don't know, man. It'll be, that'll feel good.
Which, I don't know, man.
Which means right. I get to pick Jacksonville here.
Dag nabbit.
I'm so worried for Trevor, man. I'm so worried. Like, on a lot of levels.
It's not great.
Well, because I just realized, like, there's a good chance that, like, the coaching situation in Chicago and Urban Meyer ruined the careers of what you could argue were the two best quarterbacks in this draft. Like, ruin them. Because we see it all the time. And they could ruin them. And it's going to be so sad because they're so good.
Zach Wilson really lucked out.
Which is such a weird thing to say about a person playing quarterback for the Jets. Like, what year is it?
All right. We don't have to dwell on the final pick, the Houston Texans. Field and I did a long, we had a long discussion about the kind of the rebuild there. And yeah. Field, who's like the smartest person I know, was actually like, I thought gave a really considered look at like, if you're a fan of the Houston Texans,
yeah,
what should you be happy about right now? Or what should you be looking forward to? And what should you be expecting and all that? And if you're a fan of the Houston Texans, I recommend that you go back to one episode ago. He was excellent on it. He knows the roster really well. He's so smart. He just knows everything.
Field Yates, probably the most criminally underrated person at the company, and I don't know if it's particularly close.
Most criminally underrated person I know.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. And I have to say, speaking from experience recently, having tried it for the first time in Detroit, it is absolutely delicious. Right now, you can get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And now it's time for Dinks and Dunks. I'm getting paid for this, right?
As always. Well, I guess Lenny's also pretty underrated. So he's going to get in a question, and so am I, because it's Dinks and Dunks. Wanted to remind you, college football's back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. As always, 5 questions for our guest, 4 from me, 1 from Lenny. You ready?
I think so. I'm always worried.
So, you should be worried.
I feel like Lenny dunks on me extra hard.
No. It's hard because we have you on so much. How is he supposed to come up with new material?
I don't know too much. How far have I fallen behind Dominique? Do we have the official count still?
I think you're still pretty neck and neck. I kind of alternate. All right. Question number 1. Right now, at this moment, Who's your pick for Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Who?
Yeah, this is tough. This is tough because of all the context we've been talking about.
Yeah, you know what? I am... I'm going to say it ends up being Justin Fields.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say just because, again, relative to, I mean, so many of these guys we talked about were filthy five dudes here. I think he could take over a team that's at least got Allen Robinson and some workable parts here.
Yeah. People are really ignoring the absence of Allen Robinson. It's like,
yeah.
Freaking Darnell Mooney's not playing either. It's like, guys, I know we're all focused on the offensive line. I get that. But this dude has one of the best wide receivers in football, and he's not in the game.
Yeah. And again, relative to offensive lines, like, it's not going to be as bad as what Trevor's dealing with, although it's close.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that O-line's going to get
Trevor's is going to get better,
too.
I think people are kind of ignoring.
Yeah, Norwell and Linder are going to come back.
Even Robinson wasn't playing. Linder's clearly the best. He's the best player on the line.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's like, chill a little bit.
Yeah. I would say Justin Fields has the requisite amount of preseason love and hype, too.
And he does, like, the splash plays. I think Wilson's going to make a run for it based on what we've seen so far and the offense that he's in. But I think Fields makes sense. Question two. Alvin Kamara has a new cereal brand. Kamara's King Crunch. If you had a cereal brand, what would it be called?
Ooh. God, the G words that immediately came to my mind aren't appetizing. It'd have to be like Golix Gobs or something like that, which doesn't sound good at all. But they'd be delightful. My thing was cereal.
Granola.
What's that?
Could be a granola?
No, my cereal wouldn't be a granola. You
so
know
true.
Me.
Yeah,
my cereal is like a it's like, you know, like Crave, where it's like just little pockets of chocolate. That would be my cereal. It's just a ball full of chocolate here.
Ball full of chocolate.
Enjoy Golix Gobs. Put it in your mouth.
Nobody wants Golix Gobs.
Nobody would until you see him. Again, we're going to roll out a great advertising campaign.
Kimes Clusters?
Oh, honestly, that sounds exactly like what yours should be. It's like a healthier brain. It's brain food. People can eat that and feel good about eating cereal despite the fact that it's all candy. Stay woke.
Okay. question number three.
I love when my answer is so clearly disappointing.
Question number three. We didn't talk about this because I said it doesn't matter who plays quarterback, but Cam Newton's out. It's like bizarre. He like didn't take a test, and the fact that he's out for 5 days maybe means he wasn't vaccinated, but like it's not concrete enough to where we can all definitively say so.
Shout out to Chuck Salatoro.
Does Max, that's the guy at ESPN who makes sure we don't say anything stupid. Do you think Mac Jones starts week one?
Yes, I do.
This is the opening.
Yes, I think this is the opening, and I think it's interesting because you brought up some of the differences with Cam, like, you know, just in the way he plays. But I also look back and think the last year, Josh McDaniels did a lot of different things with Cam in that offense with his legs, especially in the red zone. Mm. I can't imagine they were running the same offense in practice. And so now you're going to get the Mac Jones offense being run by the ones in a critical point of training camp, very close to the start of the season. I know we've only got four preseason games, but I just think if it was neck and neck, this is too big of an opening for him to miss.
All right, question four. We've been talking a lot about vibes. Which of the rookie quarterbacks would you say has the best overall vibe?
Oh, good question here. I can't go with Zach Wilson because, as we've established based on his draft day photos, he looks like a Bitcoin bro, and it freaks me out a little bit, so I can't go with him. Trey Lance, I don't know enough to really have a vibe for him. He's a little too mysterious for my liking here.
He's so nice.
I heard he's really smart. He's big and strong.
He's like the nicest guy.
That being said, if I'm just going to go immediate vibes, it's got to be Trevor. I remember seeing him at Media Day at Clemson when they played in the national title game where they blew the doors off Bama. And I was just like, no 18-year-old kid should have hair that good or look this big and strong or be that kind.
Jeff Darlington did an interview with him, and I think Lori Fitzpatrick, who's a great follow, tweeted a picture, and she was like, his eyes are actually teal, Trevor Lawrence's.
It was written in the stars. My poor sweet baby.
Not a good time. All right, question five, as always, comes from Lenny. Lenny, you know, he's on the internet. No one knows his account. He noticed that on August 22nd,
oh boy,
at 9 p.m., you tweeted OnlyFans, but it's just Wayne Gallman pass pro reps. He wants to know if you're ever going to get married.
Lenny and my mom sharing this Twitter account? Dear God, add it to the list. Wayne, I love you.